Good evening. Tonight's reading will come from Psalms chapter 83. O God, do not be silent. Be not quiet, O God, be not still. See how your enemies are astir, how your foes rear their heads. With cunning they conspire against your people, they plot against those you cherish. Come, they say, let us destroy them as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. With one mind they plot together, they form an alliance against you, the tents of Edom and Ishmaelites of Moab and Hagarites, Gebel and Ammon and Amalek, Philistia with the people of Tyre, even Astrea has joined them to lend strength to the descendants of Lot. Do to them as you did to Midian, as you did to Sisera and Jabin at the river Kishon, who perished at Endor and became like refuse on the ground. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb, and all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take possession of the pasture lands of God. Make them like tumbleweed, O my God, like chaff before the wind. As fire consumes the forest or a flame sets the mountain ablaze, so pursue them with your tempest and terrify them with your storm. Cover their faces with shame so that men will seek your name, O Lord. May they ever be ashamed and dismayed. May they perish in disgrace. Let them know that you, whose name is the Lord, that you alone are the Most High over all the earth. After reading this, I see how God's enemies are causing a lot of trouble, because in verses 1 through 2, it says, O God, do not keep silent. Be not quiet, O God, be not still. See how your enemies are astir, how your foes rear their heads. It's a scary thing to see God's enemies feel like they can come together and overthrow God and openly declare war on him and his people. And as children of God, it is hard for us to see this attitude go unchecked, knowing that their actions have consequences. It is also hard to see this go on because we know how wrong these people are and how God can stop them in a blink of an eye because he has done it before. God's enemies also decide to get rid of Israel. In verses 3 to 4, it says, with cunning they conspire against your people. They plot against those you cherish. Come, they say, let us destroy them as a nation, that the name of Israel be remembered no more. In these verses, the wicked have changed from declaring their intentions to coming up with vicious plans using people in high places like lawyers and experts seeking to expose any hidden followers of God to completely exterminate Israel. This is a very hateful thing because to this day it is carried out in the real world. There are even whole nations of people who plot against Israel and will stop at nothing to have that nation completely destroyed. And they will not rest until every Jew and Christian are killed. Since 1948, the war has mainly been against Jews. Now communist countries like Russia have moved their battle against Jews. Have moved their battle from Jews to Americans, primarily Christians. Nowadays, Christians are being executed every day due to their beliefs, and many are fleeing for their lives. Things like this are happening every day because the generation that is mature now grew up learning to hate Jews and Christians and to see them being executed. For years, Israel has been trying to do good for the world, like providing advances in medicine, science, and agriculture, but you really never hear of Israel getting credit for it. Instead, these things are being used against Israel. In verses 9 through 10, it says, do to them as you did to Midian, as you did to Sisera and Jabin at the river Kishon, who perished at Endor and became like refuse on the ground. This verse shows how things like this have happened in the past, and God has destroyed the people who revolted. The same thing will happen with the nation said in the scripture. The history of Israel is mostly examples of when God saved Israel from its enemies. And it's amazing how these nations won't learn to leave Israel alone. But as seen in history, most people don't learn from past mistakes and are doomed to repeat it. These stories are the reason why we have hope that God will save us when it comes to the greatest trial of all. In verse 15, it says, so pursue them with your tempest and terrify them with your storm. God's people know how powerful God is, and they want him to scare the other nations to the point where they can't ignore it anymore. Also, in verse 16, it says, cover their faces with shame so that men will seek your name, O Lord. This is the main problem because the wicked refuse to bow down and admit defeat because of their pride. God could force them into salvation, but they wouldn't truly be saved because it wouldn't have been a voluntary commitment. So God leaves proof of his power and uses us, his children, as witnesses of that power. The last verse I want to mention is verse 18. It says, let them know that you, whose name is the Lord, that you alone are the most high over all the earth. The point of this psalm is not to destroy evil, but to encourage people everywhere to understand and to see God's power. There is only one God, and he is our creator. He is our redeemer, and one day Jesus will return to separate those who enter his kingdom and those who are doomed for eternity.